Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathleen Todd. Kathy, thanks for joining us once again, of course, representing Providence Hospital and Valdez Medical Center, Valdez Medical Clinic. And we've been checking in with you throughout the pandemic, but our goal now is to check in with you a couple times a month and just get in, start with an update of the hospital, our status with COVID, and just a general idea of what you're seeing in terms of COVID cases right here in our own community of Valdez.
Well, I just got back from vacation, so I don't have a gestalt on myself. I understand that the numbers are just continuing. They're not peaking. They're not going to zero. You know, a couple new ones every day. And, of course, there's a lot of people who are just doing antigen tests at home and going by the results because they kind of know the drill by now. I'll tell you that Lower 48, which is where the pandemic is supposedly over, that I went to a wedding and five bridesmaids and four groomsmen tested positive 2 days after the wedding, after hanging out with people from all over the country. Nobody knows who had it to begin with, but it's definitely still out there. The state of Alaska is having little flares here and there, and you know, lower in some communities, higher in other communities. It's kind of static. And although the number of people in the hospital with COVID at the moment is not that high, the number of healthcare workers who are out because of having mostly mild cases of COVID, but they can't take care of patients when they're positive. And so it's still pretty strapped to be sent to an Anchorage hospital. They don't have excess capacity. Alaska hospitals are always kind of on the verge of not having enough beds, and they've definitely been on July, August kind of status here for a long time.
And employees are a problem. So what is the outlook for hospitals and even the clinics in Valdez through the summer months in terms of staffing up to handle, you know, COVID cases or otherwise?
Well, during the pandemic, we had a lot of people retire early. A lot of people stay home with their kids. You know, there aren't as many workers. There were already shortages coming to bear with doctors and nurses and lab techs and physical therapists and, you know, you name it. You know, we tend to think of people who need certifications as being our problem, but a lot of times it's the people doing the cleaning and the laundry and the checking people in and the doing the billing and all those things. There's a bunch of people who are not back in the workforce or who are in it part-time because of family obligations still. And so everybody's working shorthanded. And then if somebody is exposed to COVID, tests positive, even though they're not very sick and they have to stay home, it really affects the workload.
And Kathy, I wanted to ask you about two different things with regard to hospitals and treatment and in our community. And one is fentanyl. So the state of Alaska, they just held a press release yesterday, a press conference. And I watched that. And then there's definitely a rise here in Alaska. I've gotten lots of press releases from the state of Alaska about that. And then also mental health, because those problems are kind of coming out, and they've been there, but that's becoming more and more of a problem, as I understand it. How's that impacting both of those situations impacting healthcare in Valdez in Alaska?
Well, the fentanyl thing is very scary. If you're addicted to opiates, it's very hard to say, well, I'm just not going to do this because it just got way more dangerous to do drugs because they might be contaminated with fentanyl and I might die. But if you also feel horrible if you don't get your fix, and I do mean horrible, people do it anyway. And fentanyl is such a concentrated compound, and it's cheap to make. It's much easier than trying to import poppy seeds from, you know, other parts of the world. It's quite easy, you know, to make a big profit doing this. And so people are are being equally uncareful. So, for instance, fentanyl isn't just showing up in narcotics to make them more potent, wouldn't you like our good stuff, but also they make, in their pill press, they do something with fentanyl, and then they do something with, you know, some other pill that is not related to opioids at all, and it ends up with fentanyl in it because they didn't wash it out in between times, and, you know, some other drug that has nothing to do with opioids, all of a sudden you've got an opioid overdose. And, you know, don't do drugs is an easier thing to say than if you're already addicted to say, how are you going to get out of that? And we have, frankly, never had enough treatment facilities in this country, but especially one for people who are down and out. If you have money, if you're the CEO of some company and have a cocaine problem, you got money, you can get in tomorrow to a treatment facility. But if you are, you know, have been reduced to not having a job and having homelessness and kind of stealing or prostituting or whatever to support your habit, that's not going to pay for your inpatient treatment. And there are very few facilities for.
And how is fentanyl?
Long-range alcohol treatment or any of those treatments. So it's definitely congested in those facilities.
How are fentanyl and other drugs impacting our town right now, Valdez?
I personally don't know of anybody who's run into fentanyl as an overdose. I know that during the pandemic, there is less available and less intensive as outpatient stuff. You know, you couldn't have your outpatient group at the counseling center except over Zoom, and you may have been excused from coming in to get your UAs because it wasn't worth risking catching COVID. I have not heard about fentanyl in particular in town, but I'm sure that if it's in Wasilla, it's in town too. A boon and a bane for mental health to have everything move to virtual. That is, people have more choices than ever. You know, it used to be that the problem in Valdez with mental health, partly sometimes they're not fully staffed. But even when they're fully staffed, the problem is, oh, but I live next door to this person. Oh, this person is my mother's sister. Or, you know, counselors are very good, as are the people who work there, at not saying anything. But if they are your mother's sister, you may not want to go in there if your aunt is the receptionist, you know? And so that's always been a problem. Valdez for a long time has had the capability of having somebody who is online as opposed to in person. And now there are all these possibilities that you can, you know, do dial-up, or you can do texting with a counselor or whatever. People have thought of a whole bunch of things, and that has been a boon to people who can tolerate that kind of thing. That is, my daughter's a counselor, and her decision at one point, her group's decision at one point is, do we want to see people in person with a mask so we can't see their facial expressions, or do we want to continue seeing them on Zoom where you can't see their body language? I know, which is better. But on the other hand, her clients mainly have continued to be on Zoom because they don't have to spend hours getting to where she is. And now she is in Hawaii and they are in Illinois, and they love it because she can do evening hours for them because that's afternoon for her.
Yeah. And then in July 16th, I believe it is, we were just interviewing Brittany from Copper Valley Telecom, but the mental health direct 988 line will be up and operating. So that's another thing that I think was maybe sped along with the pandemic. So that it'll be similar to the 911 emergency line, but it'll be a mental health line across the nation. So
sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. So that'll be rolling out. That's the reason we have to do the 10-digit dialing. So there is a method behind the madness there. Well, very good. That was interesting.
People have always been able to call various helplines, but that would be nice to have one that's short and easy to remember.
Yeah, and I know all these different telehealth, but there's also a lot of great in-person resources right here in Valdez, you know, however people reach out, calling the hospital, the counseling center, AVV, just any of those avenues to get help. But I do think the stigma of mental health maybe is relaxing a bit. What do you think on that front?
I think that that's true. I think there's a lot of celebrities who are talking about their own difficulties. I think that people are more open to all kinds of things, that it's not unmasculine to be depressed or weak to have a mental illness. I think people are finally getting the idea that a lot of this stuff is not a choice. It's an illness, and it just bucking up will only work for certain things.
All right. Well, Kathy, that was great. Great info. So those might be a couple topics that we can keep revisiting as we visit with you throughout the summer. Where our plan is to do the first and third Wednesdays each month. So,
yeah. Can I go back to one other COVID related thing?
Yeah.
The recent national kind of podcasts that are talking about drugs you can take at the very beginning of COVID to maybe not get so sick or not be as likely to go in the hospital, and that are definitely recommended for people who are at high risk, diabetics, hypertensives, elderly, on various immunosuppressive drugs and all that sort of stuff. There is one that is as good as the IV stuff, and it's pills. And you go, holy cow. But the problem is that this particular podcast was saying, well, the doctors still think there's a scarcity. Well, there still is a scarcity. It's not in every drugstore, but it's coming. And it's not perfect. You've got to, you know, be careful of what other medicines you take with it and whatever. You're still going to have to get a prescription for it. But people need to know that if they get their positive antigen test, there are things that they should be doing, or at least that they can do if it seems like it's going to be a hard case. And they have to do it within the first 5 days after their first symptom or it won't work. So that is coming, and it's going to be easier than coming over to the hospital and getting an infusion for a couple hours.
So a couple hour
stuff is still available. People should call if they're in a high-risk group, but it'll be nice to have the pills available.
All right, so that's good advice here in Valdez. If people are in a high-risk group, they, you know, whether they take a home test or go to, you know, one of the places you can get a COVID test, if they're concerned, just to call to find out what the options are might be prudent at the onset of COVID. So just, I know you just said that, but just to reiterate.
At the onset, yeah, you can't wait till day 8 to see whether you might have to go in the hospital. That's too late. You got to do it at the beginning.
Okay, well, that's great, because I think a lot of people kind of wait to see how it's going to pan out. But if you're in a high-risk group, you guys don't mind the phone calls.
Don't mind the phone calls.
All right.
Well, someone else is still there.
Hopefully you got someone there to answer. You guys have been doing a great job getting through and taking care of Valdez. So thank you for that. And thank you for being on the air with us once again and keeping Valdez updated.
I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay.